Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome into the Fan Club.
Step one, we buy into this club. Step two, we roll over to the club, either in your Mercedes-Benz or my pre-owned Acura Legend.
It's not as much as a club as it is a couple middle-aged dudes in sweatshirts talking about sports.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Now all the ladies saying bounce, 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 bounce.
But you get the gist. Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
It is a Fan Club Friday. The drinks are being made. Cody's whipping up the cocktails thanks to Jay Rieger. The drink today, Ward 8. What, 2 ounces of some rye whiskey, some grenadine, lemon juice, orange juice. Cody is finishing up the drinks. If you're watching on video stream, you should check out. This drink, I would never guess it was a wintertime drink. It's very bright. It's like very, very bright red. I haven't had a sip of it yet, so maybe the taste will feel different there.
Admittedly, but this is a cocktail I have never had before.
Yeah, I have not heard of a Ward 8. Now, Dana Wright's going to join us in a second. I was going to wait till she joined us to have a drink, but go ahead. You have a sip then. I'm curious. I was going to wait, but let me know what... does it taste the way it looks, I guess?
It's good. It's very...
Drew will like this one, I think.
So maybe, I think for some people, this is one of those, like... Someone's like, I don't like rye whiskey. Drink this and tell me, like... It's got whiskey in it, but it is not like
that's very good.
Whiskey punching you in the face.
I like that. That's very good.
So a little Ward 8, 2 ounces rye whiskey. We put these things up on our Instagram. Like you said, if you want the exact measurements, 2 ounces rye whiskey, half or 3/4 ounce grenadine, 1/2 ounce lemon juice, 1/2 ounce orange juice. It's served typically up. You've got the correct glass over there. It's called like a little Nick and Nora glass. And then, yeah, that way you can serve it. You can serve it in a martini glass.
I feel like I should be outside at Electric Park, getting ready to watch the Kentucky Derby holding this up. I know they do the mint juleps, but like, I feel like these are the same type of glass that you would see for something like that.
This is probably one of
your favorite ones, I would guess.
I like it.
We'll see what Dana thinks when she joins us here in just a moment. She was supposed to be on Fan Club last week.
Here she comes. And then she comes.
Missed out.
I've
already poured you a drink.
For good reason, though, I believe. We'll let her get set up here in a second. She was very excited, I think, to join. She felt bad, I think, for last week. But you had a good reason. We were wondering last week, all of a sudden, when Drew texted me and he's like, hey, yeah, she's not coming in. I'm like, what do you mean she's not coming in? Yeah. Like, that was all I got. Like, she's just not coming in. I'm like, okay, is everything all right? I know, posted on your Facebook, but has everything been resolved? You basically said you guys had an issue at your home.
Yeah.
And it's pretty scary stuff.
Like, we should be dead. Like, legitimately, we should be dead.
Cool.
I mean, right?
So, station's cursed.
Like, society. I get this call from Spectre. Hey, are you doing the sports show? And I'm like, I don't even know what day it is right now, right? And so I am very sorry about last week. Can I take a sip of this water?
Yeah. Go for it.
This is Ward 8. So rye, whiskey, grenadine, lemon juice, orange juice.
Oh, my.
Strong? You don't like it? We don't like it.
That is whiskey. That's good.
It is whiskey. You like whiskey, don't you?
Yeah, that's something. Hmm. So we, you know, just moved into this historic home, and the heater stopped working, like, a couple weeks ago. We're like, okay. I had never had a home warranty, but you know when you buy a house, sometimes it just comes with it?
Yeah, or you can ask for it as part of the closing. We just got it
with the house, you know, for like if the microwave, or like whatever, but I wasn't used to dealing with it. So we call the number. We're like, our heat's out, but can we just call the people we normally use? And they're like, no, that's not how this works. We're going to send you a guy who works out of his trunk, who has no certification whatsoever, and you're probably going to die. So if they had been honest, that's what they would have said, but they didn't. So guy comes over. He's there about an hour. He's like, I cleaned out some debris. You're good to go. Fired it up. We're like, great. Heat was on.
Yeah.
Speaking of bourbon, Johnny sits down. He's having a bourbon. I've had like two glasses of wine. We're watching a movie. We're getting very sleepy. You know, just like settling in for the night. And October 28th, he put in carbon monoxide detectors. And I know that because he's such a detail guy. He wrote on the little sticker that you're supposed to write, October 28th. We're sitting there watching a movie, and all of a sudden we just hear, evacuate now, evacuate now.
Oh, jeez. No.
Like, and it's like the voice actively, like, I didn't know. And so I look at him, and I'm like, all right, we just put these things in. Like, is this for real?
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't smell anything.
Mm-hmm.
We just go outside. Fire department comes. They're like, yeah, you need to get out of the house.
Because, you know, it could explode or kill
you. Yeah, like at any moment. And literally I say to the firefighter, can I get my wine? I swear to God.
Of course, Dana's like, I got
to
get my glass of wine.
I feel like it was
Monday Night Football was on. This was Monday night. Uh-huh. And I was like, it's right there on the counter. We'll go out back. Like, we can watch the game. And the firefighter was just like, no.
Yeah. As he should.
Yeah. So the carbon monoxide level, for those of you who understand these things, 10 is bad. Anything over 10. And our home was 238.
Oh, holy cow.
Had we gone to sleep, it would have been a very peaceful sleep from which we would not have woken up.
Jeez.
So that was, I mean, then it was just like, oh my God. Like, it took about a day before I was like, did that actually just happen?
Did that guy cause the carbon monoxide issue?
Yes.
Or is that why the, okay, or is that why the first?
Oh, you guys, can you prove that?
Yeah. When we started digging, of course, and he like was accredited from the Better Business Bureau for like 4 weeks. I mean, I don't think he meant to kill us, but honestly, we just called the warranty company back and said, we're good. Like, we're just going to go with somebody who knows what they're doing because this man, did not know what he was doing, right? Apparently, and this is for every homeowner, they are always supposed to take a reading when they arrive and take a reading when they leave. Take it when they arrive for their own safety. Take a CO reading when they leave for your safety.
Mm-hmm.
That was clearly not done.
Small thing out of the, not small, I guess, but Andy Reid does say Isaiah Pacheco will be out once again for Sunday's game against the Colts.
Okay.
So he's not going to play.
That's a surprise, actually.
He said Kingsley needs to clear his final phase of concussion to return to participation protocol, but says that looks good and on track, so good chance Kingsley plays on Sunday, but Isaiah Pacheco will be listed as out for Sunday's game against
the Colts. That is surprising, although as we asked Josh Briscoe earlier in the show, I don't know if that matters all that much for this game on Sunday. Like, Pacheco is their best back, maybe.
If we lose one more, is it done? Are we just done?
Yeah, so they need to finish 6-1 at minimum the rest of the way.
Right.
So they can't.
The Bills lost last night, which is also not good.
Correct. Now they get the Texans head to head. We can get into some of the tiebreaker stuff and everything in a second if you want. I want to go back to the story.
Yeah,
though,
we can talk about whatever you want. I'm supposed to be dead, Alex. I'm riding high on life right now.
We can get to sports.
Nothing to lose.
We got a bourbon here.
we can get to sports, but like honestly, so someone on the text line was asking like, is this person, this prior person, like, is there any repercussion here?
Okay, so we said to the warranty company, this person, we do not believe this person was qualified to be here because once we started talking to other heating and cooling people, they're like, well, he had to have taken a reading. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
He did not. He is no longer working with the warranty company.
Okay.
And we said to them, I don't want to get anyone fired, but the thought that he would then the next day go to someone's house with like four children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a mom. My daughter was in that house 2 weeks ago. Like, for about 48, 72 hours, I was so freaked out, Alex, that what could have happened.
What made you guys put in the, I mean, everybody obviously should have them, but like what made you guys put in the detectors?
We're at Costco.
Why then?
We're at Costco and I'm a freak about fire. I'm like, you know, it's an older home. We should probably like the electrical, like whatever. We should probably get smoke detectors. And they had 2-in-1 smoke and CO. And I'm like, let's do it. And they were like $70, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that seems expensive, but whatever. Here's what's horrifying. We bring this home from Costco in August, September. They just sit in a box, like not even like not whatever you like activate it. They're just just sit in the box they came in for like a month. He put them in October 28th. So like everybody listening,
jeez,
please. Like, I spent 30 years in the news business telling everyone, get your furnace checked once a year. How many live shots did I do? Have a CO detector. And then here we are like a bunch of idiots, you know, with the thing in the box.
You never think it's going to be you.
No, you never think it's going to be you, right? And, you know, here's the other deal. Our cat, 30 minutes before the alarm went off and about 20 minutes after he left, we've got this cat. Cat's an idiot. But the cat literally is in the kitchen and we hear this, like, you know, in horror movies, like,
Cat was feeling it.
Bizarre, low yelping of, like, it sounded like death. Like, and so I go in, I look at the cat, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, she's got water. Like, then again, she's like bizarre. So I let her out. 20 minutes later, the alarms go off.
The cat knew.
Like, the horses know when the tornado's coming. The cat's like, get the hell out of your house.
Jeez. Well, that's, I mean, thank goodness, Mike. So what, it was just a quick thing that this guy didn't do? A quick fix? Are you, everything's fine now?
Yeah, $89. An actual company came out, figured out what it was. It was a little piece of plastic. The flu sensor was off, and without that, you die, I guess. I mean, who wouldn't? I didn't know anything about this stuff. I've been a homeowner.
Cody, do you have CO2 detectors in your house?
And then we also have one built into the furnace. Because in our old house, we had an issue where the heat wouldn't turn on if, like, a little bit of ice built up on the top of the fireplace where it exhausted out. And it's like, well, I can't exhaust it out, so no heat for you.
Right.
For the same reason. It doesn't want to back carbon.
I don't know if I have the right one. I just have one in my apartment complex that plugs into the wall outlet, but I don't know if that actually
gets the job
done. That's fine. Yeah, the ones that plug into the wall are closer to the ground, so that's good. Like, I've learned more about this, and trust me, now we've got six. I'm like, go back to Costco. I want these every 4 feet in the house. Like, I'm such a freak about this stuff, right?
I get that.
So, I mean, honest to God, if no one ever listens to another damn thing we say on either one of these programs, please go get your CO detector, because...
Man.
It was a deadly level. It's crazy to think about.
So do you want to go through the CO2 thing again, or are you still fighting pickleball? You know, you got all kinds of things.
I mean,
things
where do you want to start? I'm just
Dana has
life.
A pickleball court that was apparently built five
I saw
feet
your
from
Facebook post. I saw
is it
your
in someone's
post.
Backyard?
It's in the entirety of the side yard. It's 8 feet, 3 inches from our property line.
And this is,
do they play a lot?
This is somebody's house, or is this the development?
It's going to be an Airbnb for the World Cup, Alex.
Oh, well, you might want to check out of town that
week,
Dana.
Paraguayans or whoever we're going to end up getting.
Maybe yours can also be an Airbnb for the World Cup. Get your ass out.
I'll make you a deal. Bring a mask.
Yeah, the feature listed is we have 22 CO2 detectors in our Airbnb just in case.
I
got to say, the way they talk about the rates for the Airbnb, the temptation to just be like, man, I'll just go out of town and rent my place is very strong. They're talking about the numbers you can get for a house my size are like $4,000 or $5,000.
I think if you didn't have any kids that were living with you and you could just time out, a vacation of the same.
Yep.
That's what I now with kids, you're not gonna be able to leave your home for 2 weeks.
But it's the summer.
If you have
I can
a house,
leave 2 weeks.
If you have a house where you can seal off your master bedroom, that's what you want. Like, seal off if you've got an exterior or put in an exterior lock, lock it up, seal it off. So you keep your medication in there, you keep your personal effects in there. It's very tempting. And you know what I have a friend doing? Because her neighborhood has banned this. You cannot Airbnb for the World Cup. The neighborhood said, right? She is going to stay. Another couple is going to stay with her in the neighborhood for 2 weeks that you're not allowed to have it. And then they're going to split the proceeds and Airbnb out the other house.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Couples are partnering up. To make, $10,000,
Dana,
$20,000?
You want to stay at my place?
Yeah, right. I'll come stay with you.
You and Johnny can come stay with me. Let's split some profit.
We'll put people in the CO house. You can play pickleball next door.
My kids can share a room for a week. Right?
What are you going to do about this pickleball thing? So are they already playing at 5 a.m. or what?
They can't. So that's what's interesting. Like, the city has green-lighted something that cannot be used because the noise decibel level in most cities is 55. By the way, 55 decibels. The noise emanated from a pickleball court is 70 to 100. So I've likened it to, I could put a NASCAR track in my backyard. I could if I wanted to. It doesn't mean you can race cars around it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So we'll see. Like, I don't mind if it's kids out there playing or like a basketball
court. 4 in the
afternoon
or whatever.
No,
who cares?
God, no. The thought that we're going to get some party for a month with, and who are we going to get, right? We don't even know the teams and... Is Kansas City, I've got a friend who works for corporate sports. She says, don't make any plans to Airbnb out your house until we really have an idea of who's coming here. That was her advice.
I got to say, I would be very, this reminds me of the story where the woman moved into someone next door with a basketball hoop and then kept trying to destroy it. Say it was past a property line. Like, you moved in next to a basketball court and then you were mad they played basketball.
And the family was there first in that case.
If the pickleball court was there, you might've been like, do I, at least then you've made the choice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in this case of that, woman who had done that. Remember, we covered that on Trash of the Day.
We did.
She was trying to do it. I was like, this is insane. People make no sense.
Yeah, she's crazy.
So you're worried about the Chiefs like the rest of us, huh? Now, no Pacheco again on Sunday. That is weird. But it also just
they're
doesn't
not running
feel
like, the ball enough anyway.
No,
Cody.
They threw it 44 times and ran it 15 last Sunday. Do I think having Pacheco back is going to convince them to run it more? I don't think so. You know that? Do you know that Kareem Hunt is technically more efficient on an EPA per rush than Jonathan Taylor this year? That hasn't kept them from running the ball. That's just an efficiency metric. He is a very efficient runner.
I just think there's an entire generation of Kansasians who have no idea what it's like to not go to the playoffs and the hangover collectively this town is going to have if it's just over. Like, let's say it's just, I don't even want to say it, but let's say early enough, early on, we know, like, statistically, like, whatever. Like, with the Royals, you know, early on. What are we all going to do?
I don't know. I've been used to January. Yeah, look,
I mean, if they lose Sunday on Monday's show, we will be saying that the season is over. They will not mathematically be eliminated, but they're not going to go from losing three in a row at that point to winning out. But if they win, like, if they win Sunday against the Colts, I actually feel decent about their chances, Dana, based on the schedule. But it requires a win on Sunday. But you're right. It's been since 2014 that the Chiefs missed the playoffs. The first time, that's the last time. So there is definitely a spoiled aspect to all of this.
We need to go back and look 2014. Like, what was going on in America the last time? Like, it was going to be, it's going to be funny.
I mean, the Royals
stuff.
Were going to the World Series,
right?
So we didn't
that's
care.
That's how long ago it was.
But that's the thing. We didn't care because the Royals were just got to game 7 of the World Series and then the following year won it.
Yeah.
So you probably didn't even like, it didn't even register.
Was that
as being
the year Gordon was stranded on third? What was the,
that was the year that 2014 they was lost, the year Bumgarner came in game 7 and they lost. But like, so if they would have missed the playoffs later that year, it'd have been like, you know, what are the Royals up to? You'd have cared more about spring training the following
year. Have either one of you been to 1587?
I haven't. It's I get most people, it's hard to get reservations. Have you gone?
No, we have friends who went for their anniversary, somehow got a reservation. And then we have other friends who waited just to go to the bar. And they said it's worth it just to wait. And they said they were not allowed in. You can't just like loiter waiting to get to the bar. I don't know if there's some sort of like they'll text you, but she said we had to wait outside.
Okay.
And then you get a notification. There's room for you now at the bar, and then you can go in. I would do that all day long. Just go get
a drink. Just try to go to the bar.
The ambiance. I don't need to spend $600 on steaks
and
stuff.
I also don't mind sitting at a bar for food or appetizers or drinks or anything else. Yeah.
It's usually phenomenal service.
Yeah. Bar sitting at the bar, way underrated. As a just like, especially if it's just the two of you.
Oh, I totally agree.
Like, you can talk to each other. Nobody's getting interrupted. Look, if it's a group of 3, 4, 5 people, kind of
there's
impossible.
There's constantly someone there waiting on you. Like, the bartender's constantly right there.
I like, we've talked about this before. I like sitting at the bar. I think you've said you like it too.
Yeah.
As an individual.
Yeah. Especially if someone lived in some cities, didn't know anybody when I first moved there and stuff. Like, yeah, I would eat at the bar all the time.
Yeah.
No matter, no matter what.
With the bartender.
Whatever.
Like, I'm new to town.
Whatever
please,
it may be.
Please talk to me.
Yeah, people always got the best service there because they're right in front of me. I can't, like you're standing at a bar, you can't ignore them.
Right.
Which Dana gets us into a piece of audio from a current NBA player who was on the LaMelo Ball Lonzo Ball and LiAngelo Ball podcast. So Michael Porter Jr., yes, he's the brother of Jontay Porter, who, of course, I've been on your show talking about the sports betting scandal stuff. Well, he was on a podcast. They were talking about tipping culture. Okay, just listen to this. This is crazy.
Is tipping culture out of control?
Depends who you ask. If I'm at a restaurant, I leave a little.
I can't hear it.
If you're spending $3,000 on a meal, you shouldn't have to tip $600 to me.
I could get like a $400 meal, and I'm only giving a 10 or a 20 on how you was on that night.
So you leave 20% every time?
Yeah. Standard. That boy's different.
$3,000 dinner, and they don't think they should have to tip the normal, 20%, 15% if the service is good.
$400. He said that it shouldn't be that much. You shouldn't have to tip that much. It's the same effort no matter the price point of the meal.
Oh, I completely disagree.
I agree with you.
If you can afford a $3,000 dinner, you can afford a $600 tip.
Or don't go. If you don't want to do that, then don't go. Look, if the service is amazing, then it's, if you normally tip 20% or whatever. Now, look, if the service was awful and somehow you had terrible experience, then don't tip the same percentage. There is still the service. But this idea that you think the same... Like the idea that because a waiter at a restaurant where the tab is $100 and the tab is $3,000, they should both get the same tip. It's
you
just
almost
not,
feel like at that price point, it should be a 20% gratuity. Like it should just be built in, right?
I think if you're spending, and look, in working in nicer restaurants long enough, there were people who thought the one thing you shouldn't have to tip on the same percentage was liquor. So there are people who be like, if I get a $2,000 bottle of wine,
right?
I'll tip you. I'll tip you on the $1,000 of everything else I spent. But on the $2,000 bottle of wine, do I owe you
for
$400?
I agree.
Now it depends on the bottle of wine, because uncorking a $2,000 bottle of wine, that's a process.
Yeah.
that I don't think that you appreciate.
I would screw it up. Cork would go down into it, and then I'd be fired.
Well, there's special tools for wine like that and stuff like that, and it requires an expertise and a knowledge, and it's the other stuff. You're paying a $3,000 dinner. Do you know how much harder that person has to work to know their job?
Do you know how, like,
the guy serving you at Chili's?
Old people typically, like my grandfather would tip $2, two single. I don't care if it was a $5 meal.
I don't care.
Or a $500 meal. $2. And then, you know, toward the end of his years, he would like go out because he would all buy. And we're like, oh God, he's buying. Here come the $2. He would leave. And then we would go back in and put down, you know, like $40.
I don't care if people hate me or not. If I saw Alex, we went to a restaurant and we both had a $100 tab and he left $5, I would give that person more money. I don't care if I'm making Alex. Yeah. I would
eviscerate him on the show the next week.
I make good.
913-586-7965. Someone on the text line says, I'm with the Ball Brothers. You guys are the problem with tipping culture. I would just ask you, whoever that is that texted in, if your tab in the service, you agree that the service was very, very good, and your tab was $200, what do you think is the correct amount to tip?
You double the first number, so
because
it's
this person makes $2.40.
I'm just curious, like for someone said, if we're the if you are tipping on $200, what do you think is fair? Like if you think we're over tipping, then I'm fascinated to know what you think the correct amount should be. Like years ago, 15% was viewed as like the now. Not I don't want to speak for everybody, but now 20% has become more standard. Like, so what do you think? Are you only on that $200 meal? Are you tipping 10% and you think that's good enough? Or are you tipping even less? If you're tipping even less than 10%, then we're not the problem with tipping culture.
No,
you would agree, there
is a problem with tipping culture at the self-service kiosk.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. We've all had that where you're like, are you kidding me? What?
Dana, I went to Einstein Brothers and I got a bagel sliced or whatever through the drive-thru and a drink. And they'll stick the car reader out, and they'll have the tip. I'm not I had a guilt, but I'm not tipping through a drive-through for a bagel and an orange juice.
But a sit-down restaurant in which you receive service is a completely different
experience. I'll tell you, I stopped going to Starbucks for that very reason. Because they hand you that little thing, and then this is what they say. They go, and it's just going to ask you a question right there. And then you can just do. And I'm like, dude, $6 for coffee is already ridiculous. So you want me to give you $2 on six? Like, no.
It just depends. Like, the ones that kill me are the ones. Like, the only ones in which I, adamantly disagree with is...
Carry out?
Occasionally when you're... Carry out, I think there's a... Depending on if you got to go to the bar and that guy's got to handle this stuff. Because you got to do some amount of work. I don't think it has to be 20%. But then the ones that get me are, occasionally you'll get those at, the hardware stores. And you're like, what the heck? Right. What is happening here? Would you build the hammer?
Wrench didn't find itself.
Like, the hell out of here. Could you imagine if the guy at an Ace and he's like, hey man, I'm looking for a 3/4-inch bolt. And you walked over there and he's like a valet. You'd be like, oh damn.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't prepared for this. Can I, do you take Venmo?
Do you take Venmo?
I swear to God, I'd be like, oh damn. I gotta tip this guy. Have I been doing this wrong this whole time?
The craziest story that happened.
Look,
I'd
rather they just charge me more for everything.
I agree.
Charge me more across the board. Take care of your employees.
And then stop nickeling.
We all agree with that in general. Yeah, that is obviously part of the equation here. But I just disagree when someone says, you know, I'm with them. Tip on your service, not the price point. Look, 20%. The person that is bringing out, you know, the hamburger and fries at a Applebee's. Are they doing quote unquote the same job as the person bringing out the steak? Yes, but that's it. We talk about 15% or 20%. If the service is great, then that's just the percentage. It's not nobody's thinking like there's just a flat menu of fee. Bring out food. $5 equals $5 tip for server. There's not a menu for the waiter on. They bring you two drinks. You got to add another dollar. That's not.
What about your hair?
Why would we tip that way? Like, what do I tip?
Yeah.
25% on the hair. I think that's a little bit different. That's I consider that even more
that's
of a service.
Like they're touching
you.
Yeah, it's similar tip range. I guess part of this is, if that's the logic, my guess is that anybody who's ever said, I tip based on the service, not based on the price, ain't ever tipped $50 on 50 because the service kicked ass. I bet they still capped it at a percentage, don't you think?
Yep.
But they still found a number under the bill total or under the 20%. So you're still deciding a percentage. If it's I can tip $100 on a $500 meal because I thought it was awesome. Well, then you better and you think it's just tip on based on the service. Well, then if you get kick-ass service from the person at Applebee's who refilled your kid's pink lemonade 80 times. Tip them $100.
Have you noticed they've started writing on the receipt too? You know, gratuity 8 because no one can do math. They've started writing 18% is this, 20 is this, 25 is this.
Although sometimes the math's not
I always tell the kids, if it's under $100, you double the first number. If it's over $100, you double the first two numbers. It's very simple. If it's $100, it's $20.
Yeah.
If it's $90, it's $18. You just double the first number.
And someone says, what if the service is crappy? I'm not saying that you should tip 20%. If it literally, like, if the waiter did not come by your table for 25 minutes and you got your order, I'm not like, maybe some people are. I'm not advocating that it should be 20% every single time, even if the service stunk. I'm saying if the service was on par, it's that I don't care if it was a $100 meal or a $5,000 meal, I will be tipping 20%. That's correct. Just what I do.
Well, especially if you're a bajillionaire, whoever that person was that was saying.
NBA player.
An NBA player, come on.
That is the weirdest time to be stingy, admittedly.
Right.
In my opinion.
Are you kidding me?
It's like you just bought a $3,000 dinner, you're like, whoa, I got to tip $600? You're like, I mean, oh no.
Michael Porter Jr. went to Missouri. I'm just going through his
because Jayhawks tips so well.
I'm just going through his Spotrac page. It just says college listed at Missouri. I was just pointing it out. It says guaranteed at signing $150 million on his 5-year, $179 million contract.
Then why are these people gambling their lives away for $12,000?
Man, I don't know. Nobody's got that answer yet.
God.
Pure greed, ignorance, and confidence that you'll never get caught. Which is wrong.
I'm fascinated. I'm actually obsessed with that story because I love to gamble. I love sports. And I'm obsessed with why anyone would do something so stupid. That would be the equivalent of everyone listening. You literally gambling everything you have, okay, for $5. Mm-hmm. That like, you're going to put your job on the line. You're going to put your freedom on the line. You could go to prison because somebody says to you, you could make $5. That's the kind of money we're talking about when you're hundreds of millions of dollars of a millionaire and someone walked away with 12 grand.
I want to get a quick break and we come back. We'll continue talking with Dana Wright. More thoughts on the Chiefs. We'll get to our game predictions. Also, Travis Kelce just spoke to the media. We'll have some of that for you right here on Cody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Being gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, it's a Fan Club Friday in the 1 o'clock hour, presented by Jay Rieger and Co. Enjoying a couple cocktails here before the weekend. Today is the Ward 8 cocktail. If you're watching on video stream, you can see good looking drink, great taste in drink as well.
I'm gonna make a second one when I get home. It's always hard when you drink at one. Either you get really tired, Dana, or you're like, oh, just fire up for the night.
Load me up.
I get home at 2:30.
There's definitely been times.
Like, you know what? Cocktail number two. Because if I lose momentum if I stop drinking, you know. I lose the momentum.
I've started drinking some weird old lady stuff. I'm gonna really? Be honest. Yeah, I like. I started drinking port. You know,
you're drinking port
about a year ago.
Oh man, I could never get into
and
it.
And it is. Oh, it's really good with some chocolate. And then we go up, to like we go up to 70... Weston. You know, Weston.
Yeah,
got this winery there. It's called Pirtle Winery. I've never been. We went 3 weeks ago. They've got something called mead. Never heard of mead in my entire life.
Mead and port?
I know. No.
Mead, are you at the Renaissance Festival?
Yes, that's what somebody said.
What are you at the Renaissance Festival?
Honey wine. You know, I'm also wearing New Balance shoes. But like, I try the honey wine and I'm like,
shape ups coming your way.
This is the best thing I've ever had in my entire life. Now I'm drinking mead.
We've got Dana Wright from KMBZ hanging out with us. Dana and Parks. We were talking off air, whatever, as well. You're going to Greece soon, it sounds like?
Yeah, in September. What is it? Travelwithdana.info. Please sign up. And I'm
man,
not gonna,
I want to go to Greece.
Like, I can't say this, but like 8 or 10 friends of mine have already said they're going. It's gonna be. It's gonna be fun.
A cruise with Dana Wright.
I just want to go to Greece. Greece would be incredible.
I don't even know where Greece is. I was like, I'm in. You know what they said to me? They go, if you could pick like one place in the whole wide world, like where do you want one place in the whole wide world? And I go, like, where does George Clooney vacation with a mall? That's where I want to go.
Italy.
Yeah,
Greece.
You know, like anywhere over it's there, the Malta coast or whatever. I've never even been to Europe. So yeah, we're doing a Greece thing in September. I'm super excited.
Tell them to do a Cody and Gold
Where would you guys go, truly? If you did like a cruise.
Overseas, for sure.
Cruise with Cody and Gold.
It would have
would
to be tied into a Chiefs overseas game. So to Ireland or something.
Greece
when the Chiefs play in Ireland.
I would say where you chose.
Have you been?
Very high up there. No. But of course I want to go. I also think those Norwegian cruises look sweet.
Oh, yeah.
I could be talked into that.
The
drink
one I would
drink stuff. Some mead, lace up your New Balance shoes, and go
no, I did
on a
see
river cruise.
Earlier, if you're just joining, Dana was telling the story about the CO2 detectors, thank goodness, in her house, saved their life, and how important it is. I saw in your Facebook post, you're taking the CO2 detectors with you on as you go out of town now?
I don't trust anybody now. We're Airbnb-ing it in Biloxi. And like, I've stayed in the same Airbnb for the last 5 years down there. Like, I found a house I liked. It's my favorite place to stay. It's in downtown Ocean Springs. I know the owner now. I just stay at this place. But like, I don't trust my own mom anymore with the CO thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Fooled
so
you.
I talked to my mom today and they're like, they're at Walmart. And I go, pick me up a CO detector. I'm not staying in a house without one of those. Evacuate now. Like, it sounded like the DMV voice lady.
Uh-huh.
Now serving
number
R7, right? There's no rhyme or reason to those numbers, by the way. Evacuate now. It's a very pleasant way of telling you you're about to die.
I got to say, the fact that we can make an appointment for everything in our life, but I can't just say 215 at the DMV is going to end me. The hell I got, it's the only place in the world other than like an amusement park that I can't just set up my time ahead of time.
Or it's like you have 3 hours.
Have an appointment.
You have 3 hours until we're ready to serve. And then it goes, 10 minutes. Go, go.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. All of a sudden, they expect you to be waiting outside the DMV for 4 hours
right.
so they could send you a text immediately.
In Missouri, you can't even, they won't let you like leave the actual area if you leave the perimeter.
That's crazy.
So the last time I was there, and then it's just based on if you choose a good day or not. I'm sure there's days you walk into the DMV and
there's
it's only 15
there.
Minutes. Last time I was there, I was there for 5 hours.
But why, when they're something. Calling your number, is there no rhyme or reason to the number?
I don't know, yeah.
R743. And then it
why
goes
isn't
to
that
like,
just like a deli in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 36 and a half Q.
Like, so there's no anticipation of when your number is going to be called.
My guess, they did a standard ticker tape thing. Somebody would cheat the system and lie. They would just create their, they'd buy the little wheel of paper that said 5 and cut people in line and they'd cause like a problem.
Huh.
You did like a deli, it'd be a problem.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you know.
What's your favorite conspiracy going right now, Dana?
Well, I do believe Flight 800 was bombed. I've always said that. If you look at all of the documentaries on that, too many people with the FBI and with the people who understand airplanes and all that looked at that. That was the one that crashed off Long Island.
The TWA flight.
All of these people saw the something that looked like a missile going to it, and then the thing falls out. There's too many people that say the way that explosion happened looked external to internal. I don't think it was like sabotage. Like, I think someone accidentally fired something they shouldn't have and brought that plane down.
Okay.
And then I think two different people shot Kennedy, and that's it.
The one that I've been fascinated by still is the Malaysian Airlines flight, which was in 2014.
What the hell happened to that thing?
You've seen the Netflix documentaries on all that. None of them really get any there's no real clarity, obviously. That's the whole point, but I don't, that's the one that kind of fascinates me, how this plane just completely disappeared. Like, I assume that it probably just landed in the ocean and it's gone, but like at the same time,
it's like the whole premise of Lost. It literally
exactly.
is Lost.
Yes.
I still like the one that Avril Lavigne's been replaced by a body double.
That's weird.
I like to go lighter.
That's weird.
I like to go lighter with my
you
conspiracy.
You guys, you want to go deep into conspiracy theories. I've seen it twice. It's called JFK, What the Doctors Saw. And it's a couple years ago, and they bring together all of the doctors from Parkland who are the trauma surgeons that were there under the bright light that day in trauma room one. All seven of them, like now in their 80s, they've never changed their story. They're like, the entrance wound in the neck, it was an entrance. It just was. Like, the one behind him in the back of his head, that was the Oswald wound. But the one here at the top of his necktie, they were all 12 of them standing right there trying to save his life. Entrance wound. It's called JFK, What the Doctor Saw. There are two shooters, period. I don't know why. I don't know who. I don't care. It's two.
Okay. I have not heard. Is that on Netflix or something or what?
It is on. I believe it's on Netflix. We watched it again like 2 weeks ago because I was talking to Johnny about it. I go, there's two shooters. The doctor. These are like the trauma surgeons, the best in the world.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
I know you got a show.
Never gotten down the JFK.
I just crop dusted you guys with
the
JFK drop.
I'm thinking about it.
Then I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, I know you got a show to get ready for, so we're going to let you leave. I don't want you.
Should we get her game prediction or no?
Yeah.
Are the Chiefs going to win? What's the score? God. Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites, Dana, against the Colts on Sunday. Noon kickoff right here on 96.5.
They have to win because I'm going to be so depressed if they don't, and I'm watching it with my mother in Biloxi, and she is so loud you will hear her screaming from there. I'm gonna say they win, but they win by one.
Okay.
So they win their first one-score game of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever it takes. whatever it takes. Dana Wright from KMBZ.
Thank you for
go
having
enjoy your
Parks.
Time in Parks. Yes.
Get your CO detector, please.
Yeah, seriously, that was very lesson scary. Word.
I shall evacuate now.
Yes, there you go. Dana Parks coming up over at 2 o'clock over on our sister station as well.
Of course, our game predictions are brought to you by Bet365. The gateway to big wins is coming soon to Missouri with Bet365. Or Bet365, sorry. When you look at the way that they're doing it right now, I really get torn on these games. I've been wrong on the Chiefs a lot this year. I've predicted them to lose in games that they won. I've predicted them to win games they've lost. I don't have a good handle on them, Gold. I don't. That's probably not uncommon. They're 5-5, and we're used to them winning 80% of their games. 79, 78%, whatever the hell it is,
mm-hmm.
Of their games. And so I think they'll win. I say it with no confidence and not with my chest at all. I think they'll win this football game. I will predict them to win 30-27. I don't say it with real confidence. I did predict them to cover because I just think historically this is a game that they would cover, and I didn't like a lot of the other games this weekend, but I know that's not a cover, but I just mean in general. But I don't know. I just feel like the Colts will still get points. I think the Chiefs will get some points, and I think finally they'll win a one-score game.
So last week, I could have given you the same reason, admittedly.
Yep.
Big spot. This is when Andy's at his best. This is what
it's not even that.
This is, you know what I mean? Like, this is when Mahomes at, like, that was frankly what I said, and a lot of people were saying last week. And I think there was some truth to that, but it's hard for me just to point to that after what I just saw out of the bye week. I don't think the offense is going to be, you know, the game plan is going to be so different that they're going to do the things that we've all wanted them to do. I think they're just going to execute better. The season, frankly, is on the line. This is it on Sunday. They're at Arrowhead. You know my belief about the Colts. I'm a major skeptic.
My brother was at the Denver game. He said it was loud.
Daniel Jones, to me, and we've already started to see it, he is going to become very turnover prone down the stretch of the season. We've already seen a couple of them. I think even out of the bye week, he's going to make mistakes. It's not about a one-score game, Cody. That's why I like the Chiefs to win. This won't be a one-score game. If they're going to win, they're going to win comfortably. They're not winning one-score games. Alleviate the problem of the one-score game. 31-21. I think the Chiefs will make Daniel Jones beat them. And if he does, then so be it. The season's over and you lost to Daniel Jones carving you up. Blitz Daniel Jones.
You're never going to go anywhere this year anyway.
Run blitz against Jonathan Taylor. He cannot be the reason you lose the game. As in, make Daniel Jones throw the ball, make those crucial decisions. I like Kansas City 31-21. They get above 500, then a short turnaround to the Cowboys, and all of a sudden we're talking about whether or not they can get to 7-5. This is it on Sunday. I'll be there on Sunday, by the way. You can...
Fan or...
As media.
Media, okay. Yeah. Just curious.
True. How is this going on Sunday, Mr. Cincinnati?
How did he predict last week? Did he predict
I predicted a win for the Broncos.
Okay. Correctly?
He did. He was correct.
I think this one is going to be another one-score game. And unfortunately for Chiefs fans, it'll go the same way that it traditionally has gone this year. I will say Colts 28, Chiefs 27.
1 point.
1 point.
So we all, I mean, you're saying 10-point game at least. Or no, not quite that. But yeah, 31-21, yeah.
What, it's not a one-score game. They'll be fine.
That's a good way to look at it, honestly. I don't know. Some of this is, I was never like completely down on the Colts the way you were, like as far down as the Colts as you were. They're not like some world-beating team. The Chiefs are at home, and I think they're catching the Colts at a good time. The Colts, although they're getting Charvarius Ward back, so they'll have a good secondary to go with it. Daniel Jones looks a lot more like Daniel Jones the last couple of weeks than what they had seen in the previous ones. And if it wasn't for an absolutely Herculean effort from Jonathan Taylor against the Falcons, they'd have lost that damn game too. That man went for 250 and 3 touchdowns. Like, Daniel Jones was not the reason they won the Falcons game. He was definitely the reason they lost the Steelers game. And if you look at their best win on the season is still probably the Chargers on the road. Like, it, right? I mean, yeah. They beat the Titans twice, the Broncos at home. So, like, that's their best win. There's still something about this team that I'm not sure about, and I don't know.
Look, the Chiefs are hard for me to quit. I'll be honest.
Like, yeah, that's part of it.
It just is. Like, for those, like, you're picking them after what they looked like. I get it. They're hard for me to quit because I still look at the roster and think this is a 5-6 football team.
I'll say it's going to be a lot easier to quit if they lose this weekend.
Oh, Cody, I've already committed to this. If the Chiefs lose on, I don't care if they lose because of a fluky field goal blocker. I don't care. If the Chiefs lose Sunday, I will tell you on Monday, and I think most people will be with me, that the season is over, even if mathematically it's not.
The reason why I wasn't willing to commit to that on Monday is because the Colts game still existed. And if they beat the Colts, you're telling me people aren't going to be back on board beating a playoff team, a division leader in Indianapolis, and then a short turnaround against the Cowboys, and all of a sudden in a 10-day period, they're 7-5 and they still have one game of wiggle room. Like if that happens, you're telling me you're not feeling decent about their chances. So I need to see them lose to another playoff team to put them below 500. Then it's over. I don't think they are. By the way, someone said, Drew, you said they were going to win out. No, said preseason they would start 5-5 and then win out.
Are you changing on now, man? It's right in front of you.
Hang on a second. So I referenced it last week. Yes, I did predict them to go 5-5 and all these other things. And I did say preseason that they would win out afterwards. Things change. You know, this team does not... them being 5-5, I wasn't expecting them to be this version of 5-5. Where,
but I mean, a lot of the advanced analytic numbers are good.
Well, which is where I think, leading to my point here, that again, I picked the Colts to win this game. But if the Chiefs win this game on Sunday, they will win out. I will pick them the rest of the season.
I hope you're right.
If they win this game, I think that is the turning point of the season where you can circle that on the schedule, and being them losing to Denver and bouncing back the following week against the Colts is what completely flipped the switch with this team, whatever it is, going forward. I think that I'd be willing to
Part of the reason it's not crazy is there's an argument to be made that the Colts are the best team in the AFC. You might not agree or disagree. You might say it's the Broncos or the Patriots, but there is an argument for.
So you beat the best team in the conference.
Yeah.
And your schedule lightens up significantly.
Texans are still tough. Chargers are still tough. But yeah, it's easier than it has been.
Travis Kelce spoke to the media. I just want to play a little bit. This is what Travis Kelce had to say heading into a game that has the stakes that we've all discussed all week.
You talked with your brother about saying this year's team, in your eyes, could be better than last year's team. Can you just expand on what you meant by saying that?
I just think... the chemistry, how together we are, how much we're willing to fight for each other. I think it's not a matter of effort. It's all just execution. And, you know, we're in here every single day grinding our tails off, trying to get that fixed. And, you know, you feel it from the coaches. They're tightening things up a little bit so that we focus on those details and so we can play fast and you know, play with a purpose. And outside of that, I think the chemistry of this team is one of the most fun teams I've been on in a while.
You mentioned this team. It's a lot of guys that only know Super Bowl or AFC Championship game, right? They only know winning. You've been in a situation where you've lost a few games before. What's the mindset like, and what's your, I guess, your what do you say to those guys?
Well, I don't know. I think every season's different, right? Adversity hits you in different ways every single year, and you know, the ups and downs of the season kind of mold you as a group. So, not to say that these guys don't know how to fight through anything. It's just you know, you have to understand that, you know, just that every single season is different, and that, you know, our obstacles are going to be different. And sometimes it's just a matter of week in, week out, you know, being able to recharge, refocus, even after a big time loss or a piled up couple of losses and things like that. Like, you got to find ways to fight through that. You know, the energy may be different dealing with adversity in previous years than it is this year. And it's just, you got to make sure that you're coming into the building with the right mindset. And, you know, if losses do pile up on you, man, you got to have a sense of urgency and not kind of, I don't know, go into a shell, but you just got to come in chest up and ready to handle business, man.
We all know how the season started with guys being banged up and not having everybody together, at least on offense. But over the course of the year, have you seen defenses approach you guys slightly differently now?
I think in general, I think we're getting a different version of every team's defense for sure. And it's just how you... I feel like teams feel they need to attack us defensively. You know, we're a veteran group on the offensive side in terms of Pat being able to do it and Coach Reed's ability to scheme guys up. So it's just, you know, we're getting different looks here and there. But, you know, I think the coaches are doing a great job of giving us looks throughout the week that have us prepared for anything and giving us plays that we can go out there and make happen no matter what they're calling. So,
Travis, I'm not trying to make it seem like you never worked out until this offseason, but you obviously put in particular work this offseason. Are you seeing it pay off now as much as it did maybe early in the season?
Me working out all offseason, is a huge reflection of our team being a lot healthier than we were last year in the wide receiver room. I think what you're seeing is I'm a product of my environment right now. I'm just trying to go out there and everything is, you know, predicated off of, you know, how the offensive line does, how the guys around us do. And obviously the chemistry me and Pat have been able to accumulate over the years. But I think this year is just, you know, every year is different. You got to kind of attack it differently. I think in terms of athleticism and where I feel in terms of health right now, I feel like the offseason definitely helped me to at least get a head start on some of the wear and tear. So it's just the body feels better, but I think the production wise, you know, our offense in general is having a better season than it was last year. So a lot more weapons, man.
Travis Patrick said he didn't like being 5-5, but he was excited to see what was going to happen from here on out. I guess you get a.
I'm excited sense. Every single day we come into this building, man. There's still a chance. I'm fighting, man. And I think right now it's a different season than we've had, really, in a sense I can remember. And with that being said, it's, you know, every single day is a new challenge, and I love that. I love that opportunity. We get a great football team that's playing amazing on both offensive and defensive sides of the football. They got a great run game, pass game, playmakers all over the field. So. And then defensively, they're very stout, and they're getting one of our ex-Super Bowl winners, Tarvarius, back this week. So it's only going to make our job a little bit harder, and we just got to focus, man. But I got all the faith in the world and everybody in this building and, you know, going out there and finding a way to get a win this weekend.
So that's some of what Travis Kelce had to say a few minutes ago, speaking to the media, heading into, as he said, like I said, they're in a different spot than he can remember. And it's true. If you look at just about everybody on the roster, nobody's really been in a spot where they're in danger of falling to 5-6. And as we know, in terms of playoff, it's been since 2014 that they've been making the playoffs every year since then. As far as Travis Kelce, later on in that audio, we just ran out of time there. He was asked about his future, and he said he looking ahead, you know, he'll make a decision before the league year, right?
Yeah, which makes mid-March. Sense. March. Yeah. Gives the team a chance to figure out what they want to do in the draft if he decides to hang it up. I've said before, playing at this level, I wouldn't be in a hurry.
Yeah, if I just don't know him, where his life off the field is headed. And obviously, he's about to get married.
I just think that's a bigger
that.
Question than the football part now.
Yeah.
Like, does he, you know, like the married and family and like what are the things he's going to start prioritizing or wanting to do in his health and his body? And I'm sure he's talked to his brother who stepped away from the physical part of it and how he feels and this other stuff. All that could play a factor. From a performance standpoint, he's going to go down swinging. As one of the three best tight ends in the NFL, even at his age.
It's a shame if they don't figure this out as a team, because individually he's going to, if this is his last year, I think it is, individually he's going to have a great year. But if you tell me he goes out not making the playoffs, that sucks, considering the career that he's had.
No way.
More reason why, I mean, if you needed it, if you're teammates of his as well, to try to figure out a way to get this thing rolling. They got to do it on Sunday. We'll be back on Monday. Could be a vastly different show based on the results. At Arrowhead, Sunday with the noon kick. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We will be here on Monday from 10 to 2. The Drive is up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.